Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
This is from an online webinar that we did with Paul Mason of Innovate UK, where we discussed technology ventures and their funding. Okay, welcome everybody to this aim of our webinar. Today we're going to be discussing starting and financing your tech venture with Paul Mason from Innovate UK. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Great to have you with us, Paul. As I was saying earlier, we go back quite a long way, back to the old technology strategy board. So we've known each other for at least 10, 12 years, sort of something like that. So great to have you on to give your insights again today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Good. So just in terms of what we're going to be covering today, we've had some brief introductions before we started while we were waiting for people to come on. If in terms of running this, in terms of etiquette, because we please ask you all to mute and to unmute when you're asking questions, we'll be coming to that. I'm going to give some brief introductions and context on that to today's topic, and then Paul will be the meat of today's discussion, giving insights around starting and financing tech ventures, really giving the perspective on how Innovate UK helps to stimulate innovation and venturing and that in the UK to help drive our global competitiveness. We do really want to make these sessions quite interactive. So if you've got questions or you've got comments, please post those into the chat. Top right-hand corner, you'll see the little chat sort of symbol. And when Paul and I have finished our pieces, we'll open up the discussion to make it a lot more interactive. And as we've sort of heard from the others who were on the session today, there's quite a breadth and depth of understanding of different tech areas. So I'm sure we'll have a stimulating conversation. So in terms of context, we are now seeing an accelerating convergent technologies which are driving new business models, be that in data, green materials, biotech, new super materials, those coming together to create new business models. Now, whether that's electric vehicles, new health solutions, we're seeing a whole range of different sort of solutions and technologies like AI now impacting really very many industries. But I suppose one of the things that'd be interesting to explore on this session today is how technology creators, researchers, universities look at a particular idea or tech, how startups look at it, and how they see the potential and accelerate that, and then how corporates, how they see these types of ideas and how they scale them. So that's an interesting perspective that we might want to explore, the different perspectives that come from technology and innovation and then scaling these things up for business. We've been working with 20 years now around venturing, investing, and corporate sort of innovation. And there's some steps that I sort of see within building a venture. Is understand your business training. We look at things like Business Cube, how you build your venture, how you build the skills and capabilities for that. And Henley is like one place where there's entrepreneurship programs to drive those things. Mentorship, to be able to help validate an idea and take it through to feasibility, I think is an important aspect of building an idea. How you accelerate these ideas with design, validation from a market perspective, from a tech perspective, and then gaining investment funds, be that early stage seed funds, be that latest VC or corporate engagement within these areas as well. And Henley Business Angels is one example of an angel network that can help in those early idea validation. But the main meat of today's discussion really is around how do governments and how does Innovate UK specifically help to support early stage ventures? One area that we've discussed on previous sessions is the challenge of the tsunami of redundancies that are now going to be flowing through the UK and globally as through this recession due to the pandemic. And these are just some examples of corporates that have announced in the last number of weeks redundancies that they're making. And I think one of the important things that we should all be aware of, and a topic for today, is there technology, are there business ideas that really we have to be careful we don't lose those as we go through this recession, and not waste this opportunity to build new technologies, new business ideas into areas. But we know becoming an entrepreneur or being an entrepreneur is a massive challenge. We invest lots of time, effort, creativity, and our own money in building these ventures. And these are just a few examples of entrepreneurs that have come from corporates, you know, going back to the previous sort of slide that I've seen over the years. So Fleet Electric Vehicle Solutions, which came from a utility corporate that I was working with the back end of last year. One of the early things that I did 20 years ago now, when I started originally as the corporate venturing and Henley Incubator initiative that I started, was a spin out from the Unilever consumer goods business, which was a spin out technology which had VC investment and ended up getting technology strategy board investment, I think, at the time. There's others here that which some of you are on the call or others that, you know, your interest is coming from this. But, you know, taking a step back, we are going to see again industries transforming. So in the energy space, moving from large power stations, centralized energy creation and distribution, to more distributed energy solutions with electric vehicles, solar panels, wind turbines. We're seeing in the health sector moving from looking after sick people just in hospitals to new devices, new technologies, new ways of using data to help in people's health and wellness. We're seeing in the administration sort of space, you know, artificial intelligence, cryptocurrencies, which are going to transform the transactions that are within businesses. And also we're seeing in the retail space, as an example, you know, the decline of the high street, more home deliveries, and what's the new blended experience going to be like in the consumer space. So certainly one of the ventures I've been a founder of and helped to finance over the last couple of years in retail is going through a massive disruption and transformation now, which has been accelerated sort of by the pandemic. So I think as we go through the talk today, we'll see, and the discussion, we can touch on a number of those areas where technology and businesses are going to get validated and move into new business areas. And I think that, you know, this image, I think, to me, captures how we, people who are in the tech space, in the venture space, in the startup space, you can see the new world, but how are we going to get there with the support of investors, with the support of government to take us to a new, greener, more efficient and maybe fairer world? So that's a bit of the overview and context. We've got stacks of resources. We've got over 100 interviews, podcasts, one interesting one, which is we just posted in the last couple of weeks, which might be very relevant for this group, is I interviewed Savio Kwan, who was the chief operations officer and board member of Alibaba. And there's two podcasts from him now on our Gaul's Question Time podcast. And he talks about his career change, and he also talks about starting Alibaba in the early 2000s when China went through the SARS pandemic. So that they impacted there. So there's lessons to be learned going back when Alibaba is now, of course, one of the world's most valuable businesses, and Jack Ma is one of the world's wealthiest people and driving technology and business model in very different ways. The output from this session, we are recording this session, so we're going to be posting the video of my presentation and from Paul's presentation. We will not be videoing and presenting the discussion we're having later. So feel free to ask and talk about your ventures. We will not be broadcasting that, but you can go back and watch previous presentations from BMW, Williams, Silicon Valley Bank. And coming up, we've got GE Ventures speaking next month. We've got a fintech investor, which I'm lining up now, and a health tech investor as well. And finally, a little plug for my book, Purpose, Performance, and How Value Chains and Technology Chains Are Changing, which is available on Amazon and other good bookshops.
Good afternoon, everybody. Andrew, as I said before, thank you for the invitation. I'm the Director of Innovation Policy at Innovate UK. I've been with Innovate UK for 13 years, and before that, I spent 25 years in different bits of the chemical industry. So that's a little bit about me. What I'm going to talk about for the next 15 or 20 minutes is a little bit about how Innovate UK helps companies, and we're size agnostic to a degree. So that could be help to a large company, to a small company, to an SME, to a startup, including spin outs and corporate ventures. So I'll talk a little bit about the kind of things we do. Primarily, we do stuff that's in the connecting space or in the investing space. And then I'll try and pull some threads together at the end. And this isn't an overview of our corporate strategy. This is more of a how-to session. So I'm hoping that that's useful. I hope it's practical. It's certainly not very theoretical. So just in case you're not aware of who we are the UK's innovation agency. By the word innovation, we mean the commercially successful application of ideas. And we invest in ideas and technologies and connect businesses to the right people and equipment and assets to drive economic growth and social benefits. We're part of UK Research and Innovation. So in that chart, you can see us in the middle. And around it, you can see the main bodies in the UK which fund thematic research in universities. And that places us in a good position to sit between discovery and new knowledge-based research and companies. And we have a whole series of ways in which we help companies. I'll run through some of them shortly. And we've been deploying them since 2007. And in that time, the companies that we have supported, about 8,500 of them, have created something like 22 billion of added value into the UK economy, and between them around 100,000 jobs. So we know that what we do works. That's not to say we aren't dead set on getting better at what we do, but I think we've made a good start over the last decade or so. And we can basically offer two kinds of help. We can offer connecting help and we can offer funding help. And this is the disclaimer. We're currently working on an innovation strategy for the UK for 2021 to 2026. So this presentation precedes the results of that. And it's not impossible that at some point in the future, we would articulate what we do, not in these two buttons of connect or fund. But they're practical and it boils down to they're the sorts of things we do in different priority areas. So note the disclaimer, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. So in terms of the connecting, basically we try and connect people to other people with expertise or to assets that they might need. And we've got two or three tools that we use to do that. So the first one is the Knowledge Transfer Network, which is an independent body but funded by us. And it basically builds innovation communities and innovation networks across the UK economy, connecting businesses and academia and funders and government departments to build communities in areas with high potential and to help the people in those areas by move faster. So it's free to join. If you Google Knowledge Transfer Network and just sign up, then you can stay in touch with what they do. And I would recommend you to do that for the reasons that I'll explain at the end. We also support the Enterprise Europe Network. This does a whole series of things, but one of the things it can do is to connect people into more than 60 countries where they have partner advisors. So if you want to find someone in Brazil and you're not quite sure where to start, the EEN is a good place. And they also offer a kind of business development, business coaching type activity to all the companies that we fund, which is very much about lifting and helping C-level or management level people within organizations that we're supporting to raise their game. And then the last bit in the kind of connect space, or at least the last major bit, is the Catapult Network. So this is a series of technology and innovation centres. There are 9 of them funded by us, but we're only part of their funding. We provide the core funding, and they work with centres across the UK in areas like digital technologies, satellite applications, cell and gene therapies, manufacturing, offshore renewable. So I won't say too much more about them, but this presentation will be available to you afterwards. And if you have an interest in any of those topics, then do reach out to the relevant catapult. Okay, so that's trying to find the right person or the right equipment. If you want to find money, we have basically 3 types of money. Broadly speaking, they sit into competitions where we allocate grants based on topics, so thematic competitions. Competitions where we allocate grant based on the quality of an idea, but not restricted to a particular market or a particular technology, or loans, some of which are responsive, i.e. open in their scope, some of which are thematic. And I'll say a little bit about some of those programs in a moment. So on the thematic investments, the major one is ISCF. You may have come across it. It stands for Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund. And these are about 20 or so major investment programs, which bundle up into either things to do with aging society, or to do with AI and data, or to do with mobility, or to do with clean growth. And each of those bullets within those boxes refer to a particular investment within that area. And it's to do with challenges. So it's not about addressing a particular sector or vertical. It's not about elevating a particular kind of technology. It's about overcoming the obstacles to the growth in the exploitation of that technology or that market. So what's getting in the way? So a nice example, for example, in the future of mobility space is the Faraday Battery Challenge. And that is all about, how do you create batteries? How do you maximize their lifetime? How do you recycle them and recoup the valuable components within them? And unless that whole system of battery power and its proximity to automotive manufacturing, unless that works effectively, then electric vehicles will be suboptimal and that will hold the industry back. There's a whole series of other opportunities there. You can see robots in extreme environments, next generation services, which is about how do you use digital technologies to revolutionize sectors like the law profession or accountancy, or legal services, I said, or insurance. Healthy aging is all about chronic diseases and the, you know, the general deterioration of our bodies as we get older. How do we counteract those things? So I won't go through the list, but all of those programs are up and running. Some of them still have competitions and grants to dispense. If you're interested in those topics, do reach out to the right people, and the KTM will know who they are. So if you join the KTM, they can immediately point you to the right person. Okay, managed programs. I'll skip through some of these, but effectively, in addition to our own money, which was the last set of things I talked about, we're the delivery body for a whole series of programs from government departments like BEIS or the DCMS. So in DCMS, we run a lot of digital programs like 5G or Internet of Things or cybersecurity. For BEIS, we do things like helping regulators to think about how they innovate in regulating. And then also for BEIS, we do things like the Advanced Propulsion Center or the Aerospace Technology Center for the auto and aerospace industries. So they're all thematic. And if you have an innovation idea in those themes, then that's the place to go. If you're not in one of those areas, or if the timing doesn't happen to work for you, then you can come forward to some of the responsive open scope programs. And just to run through those, the biggest one there is SMART, and that runs 4 or 5 times a year. It usually has a competition pot of about 20 to 25 million each time. And you can come forward with any idea for a project between 6 months and 3 years, up to about a £2 million project in total. And we will fund it so long as it is ambitious enough, whatever technology it is or whatever sector of the economy it is. So that's the SMART award funding. Knowledge Transfer Partnerships, I don't know if you know, but they are a scheme where a university will second somebody from their company, sorry, from the university into the company. The idea is that there's great deep technology knowledge in the professor's head. He doesn't have time to spend 5 days a week in a company. So they will second somebody from their research group or recent graduate from that department out into a company who will spend a little bit of time in the university. But in the company, they can help with training, they can transfer the knowledge from the university, and they can help embed it into that company, write SOPs, train staff, all those kind of good things. And there's about 800 people at the moment in that program. So recent graduates working in companies, helping to embed new knowledge within the practices of those companies. So that's a couple of things in the open space. There are more, but I'm trying to kind of give you a bit of an overview of it. And then in terms of other kinds of funding, we do loans and we work with the equity community to crowd in additional resource. So on the innovation loan side, we've just been doing some pilots. Unfortunately, the 75 million is already accounted for, but we're hoping to renew that in terms of loans. And we do have some loans available in relation to the COVID response, which I'll show you about in a little while. But effectively, that's different from a grant, because with a grant, you don't have to pay the money back to us. You just have to pay your taxes, and that has to go back into the treasury. With loans, we do want the money back, but we offer a period when you can draw down without having to pay anything back, and then a period when you pay back over that time period. So effectively, it's quite slow capital. I mean, typically, it might be between 7 and 10 years before you have to settle the amount in total. This chart I will spend just a moment on, because it's important if you're interested in a loan. So there are basically two types of loan available under COVID response. So if you can prove that your business has been affected by COVID, and that is why you want the loan to do innovation, so it's all about supporting R&D, it's not for other kind of purposes, then you can come forward to us, and we do have a budget to actually help companies in that position. And you, if you're in the middle pot, it says you're supported by Innovate UK, then that's quite important, because it could either be a project which is closed or a project which is which is live now, or which you finished within the last 3 years. And the loan could be between $250,000 and $1.6 million. So quite large sums of money. And if you have been supported by us or in the past or are still being supported to us, then you can come forward with that. And so that is that. They're quite important things from the loans point of view. In terms of investor partnerships, if you've come across this before, something called Investment Accelerator, this is the same thing, but we've just got a better name for it now. And it's about us co-investing grant funding alongside investors putting private equity funding in, which can provide the match, and making sure that works more seamlessly. So we don't have to offer a grant for someone who then has to go and find some private equity to match it, which is a requirement of the law. By making sure that we line up the equity before we put the grant in, and the guys are expecting it on the equity community, then everything happens a little bit more quickly. And so far, we've had 28 different investment schemes or funds getting involved with us on that. And we've supported about 120 businesses through that. Hang on, that's gone backwards. It should have gone forward. So just to summarise in the last few moments, I thought what I'd do is try and do a live demonstration. So if you Google Innovate UK grants, I'm making the assumption, which might not be right, so forgive me if this isn't true, that you might not know Innovate UK, or you might not have had funding from us before. So I thought I'd do a demonstration of how you can find out if there is something suitable for you to apply for. And so if you Google Innovate UK grants and click on the apply for funding, innovation funding part, it takes you to .gov.uk. This is the link that if you copy it from your browsers, it's got a bit of a horrible name there. And as I did this earlier in the week, there were 21 live competitions that people could apply for. And obviously it depends upon the scope, the timing, the dates and how to apply. It's important that you check those things. Now, before I click on the link and hopefully show you what this demo would throw up, you need to be aware that basically all of our competitions, and we compete them, so we fund the best ideas. We have all of the applications evaluated by 5 independent expert assessors externally. And there's a questionnaire that you fill in, or an application form you fill in, that asks you 10 questions. And the 10 questions are really unpacking these 4 criteria. So one is there a large market? The second one is, do we have the capability to do it? The third one is about the timing. And the fourth one is about the added value. So why do you need public sector money? The capability is all about your team and whether you've got smart people in it and whether they know how to build a business and to develop the technology. And the world market is this, you know, is the hill worth the climb, basically. So let me try and click on this link and see if it takes me to .gov.uk. Can you all see .gov.uk? I'm not sure what is being shared.
Yep, that's sharing. That looks all right. That looks like...
Great, good. Okay, so, so this is one of my points to you is there's now 22 competitions live showing up on this. And on Monday, there was only 21, right? So one of the things that's really important is that we've constantly got new things coming forward, new things opening, some things closing. So you might look on it one week and then the next week there might be an opportunity that wasn't there the previous week. So it's quite dynamic. If you join the Knowledge Transfer Network and tell them the sort of things that you're interested in, they will send you an email on a regular basis, certainly monthly, and they will tell you if there are new competitions and things happening without you actually having to do anything. So I would recommend joining the KTN. So anyway, let me show you what happens. If you go into this, then you'll see there's an SBRI competition there. There's something on transforming automotive. There's something on 5G on roads. There's an aerospace technologies program activity around civil aviation. There's something around healthy aging, so older adults staying healthy. And there's innovation continuity loans. I was talking a little bit about that before. And again, that's a SIF thing. That's women in innovation. So if you're a female innovator, then female innovators are underrepresented in the UK innovation landscape. Something like 14% of people who bid to us 5 years ago were bids from female entrepreneurs, 85% from men. We've increased that, almost doubled it. It's a little over 20% now, something like that, which still means that men outnumber women by 3 or 4 to 1. But it's better than it was because it used to be 6 or 7 to 1. Anyway, so, and this is the smart grants thing. So I'm just going to show you this. I'll click on this link here. So if you're on this web page and you want to find out about this, if you click on that link, it'll take you through and it'll tell you about the smart grants. So it's open now and the competition closes on the 25th of November. If you want to start an application, just click on that tab, create an account with us, and then you can add it and edit it. And I can answer questions about the detail later. But this is really important because this stuff tells you what you can apply for, what's available, how long the projects have got to be, and how big the project sizes can be. This one on eligibility tells you whether you can or not, whether you can or can't apply, right? So it tells you what to do if you haven't got any partners, what to do if you're a university, what to do if you have done applications before, what about RTOs, what about resubmissions. If you turn out to apply and you're not eligible, we won't even assess the application, right? So it's really because we need to save taxpayers money, the bill for 5 assessments. So do check eligibility. Similarly with scope, if your proposal is out of scope, you won't be funded. So you need to make sure that you've got the scope requirement met, and it's all written down on these pages. This tells you how and when certain things happen. This tells you how to apply. So it tells you what the questions are and what kind of things we're going to ask you. So here are the 10 questions you need. So you can prepare as you're thinking about this. Do I have a good answer on approach and innovation? Do I have good team and resources? Can I show what the market is? Am I clear what the route to market is and can I explain it? Do I know what the wider impacts are in terms of on society and the broader public and other stakeholders? Can I manage the project? Do I know how I'll cope with the risks? Why should the taxpayer pay? So what's the added value of public investment? And then how is it value for money? We often have the debate, should we fund 3 cheap projects or 1 expensive one? And then there's some finance forms. So this will give you an idea of the sort of thing that the assessors are looking for. And then on this last tab, there's supporting information that tells you about, you know, how the EEN could possibly help you and where you can get extra help, including the link here to the Knowledge Transfer Network. So I'll bail out of this at that point, which I hope will take me back to the that's Keith's thing. So if I, well, that's weird. No, here we go. Can you see this again? Are those my slides?
Yeah, that was very brave of you. You did that well, Paul. You're back. You did the demo and you're back now on your deck.
Great, yeah, good. So I've only got a couple more slides, really. So good. The first thing is to say that we recognize innovation is complex. And before I joined this middle ground of trying to help companies to grow, I spent 25 years in the chemical industry trying to help make money out of technology in a series of different industries and using different kinds of chemistry. And my colleagues are mostly like me. They're mostly from businesses. So we know how hard it is. And we run various kinds of programs to help. One is about finding the right people and expertise, and the other is about getting the money. And we work very closely with government to help them to help companies, which is our specialty, really. So we are here to help. So do reach out to us. Do stay up to date, because lots of different things come along. And joining the KTN is a really great place to start. And with that point, I'll say thanks for your attention.
Excellent, Paul. That was great. Well done. Thanks very much for that. So Paul, great running through that, the process and what's available. In preparation for today, yesterday morning I went and had a look, and one of the ones on there was very much in the space of one of the ventures that just posted to Henley Business Angels. And I sent that to that female entrepreneur, by the way, who had good. 10 responses from potential angel investors, and she responded and said, "This is fantastic. It's spot on. It's almost written for us." So fingers crossed that we'll be able to support that early stage venture. And, you know, I've invested in a number of startups which have got a lot of value in the KTNs and in grant support. And for, of course, for me as an investor, having this non-diluting grants or the loans which come through this, I think, are a great sort of support. But
we definitely hear that. And so I mean, a couple of things, really. I mean, by law, we can't give money to a company that above a certain amount of a percentage of the total grant cost. So typically it's about 50%, but it can be up to 70% for small and micro companies. And in fact, under some of the things around COVID response, it can be as high as 80%. And so it depends upon the nature of the work that you're doing, and it depends upon the size of your company. But if you're an investor, why wouldn't you want to take the grant? Because, you know, your money goes at least twice as far, maybe even three times as far if you're talking about a small company. And we don't ask for anything back. But we do want your employees to pay their income tax, and we do want companies to pay their corporation tax and to do it in the UK. Now, if we fund a company that takes the grant and then decides to decamp to another part of the world with everything, making no attempt to pay anything back into the UK's ecosystem, the contract says we can ask for the money back, which we would do, right? But most of the people who apply to us are serious about being in the UK, and they want to build companies here, and they put a lot of effort into building companies here. And my experience, after 13 years, I was here right at the very beginning, people just don't take the money and disappear for the most part. They stay here and they crack on doing good stuff.
So there's a question very much related to this. Are there any grants that don't require match funding, or are you saying it's the 50, 70, 80% type?
So there's, well, the there law. So this is what the law says, right? The law says that if you're doing non-economic activity, then governments can pay at 100%. Right. And that is how they fund university research, because it's non-economic activity. It's economic. It's knowledge discovery.
Right.
But in order to demonstrate that it's non-economic activity, it has to be made publicly available to everybody. Right. So it has to be published, and the guys who receive it can't set up a business on the back of it from that exact thing. Now, the knowledge that is generated, they can build a company on the back of the knowledge that's generated, but they can't use the grant to set the company up or to do economic activity, because that would be breaking the law. So so that is how governments can fund things at 100%. But if you're doing economic activity, like if you're trying to start a company or you're trying to develop a prototype, or you're looking at customers, you're evaluating the market, all those kind of things, then the private sector has to find match according to the things I said before, which is to do with the maturity of the research work and the size of the company. When we leave the EU, formally, when the arrangement's finished, depending upon the trading arrangements, those arrangements could be different. And obviously, that's a source of tension on the negotiation, because what the EU doesn't want is a little island offshore funding companies at 100%, which disadvantages European companies, and then selling back into Europe, having taken a disadvantaged state aid position. So that's why state aid is such an important part of the negotiation with the EU. And until further notice, we are absolutely compliant with EU regulation, and that's what we'll be doing until anything changes.
Okay. And what sort of, you know, your overview of the demo, I think, was really good in showing the eligibility parts, but what sort of areas do you think that ventures fall down on when they do the applications? And yes, they've ticked those boxes, but what are the sorts of feedback that you give, and where do they typically sort of fall down? Have you got any?
Yeah, definitely. And there are some, I mean, I hate to use the expression schoolboy errors, because, you know, it does sound a bit sexist, but I mean, a very common error, people don't answer the question, right? A very common error is they cut and paste text designed for a different purpose, and they pop it in as if it answers the question, but it only sort of 60% answers the question. Well, you know, if you come in at 60%, you'll be way down the pecking order and you won't get funded, right? So it's really important to answer the question. Another thing is, you know, be tight, be really clear. It can be very helpful to get somebody else to read it, because when you write something, you think that you've said X, but to a different reader, they might read it and think, actually, you've said Y, or you might have said two or three different things. You've written what you think you've said. You haven't actually written that. So it's always worth getting someone to check it. Don't do it in a hurry. Take time to write it and reflect on it. And I mean, here's another interesting thing. I was talking to somebody recently who won a grant, and they said, well, I applied. I'm delighted to win the money, but that's not why I applied. And I said, that's really interesting. We don't often get told that. And they said, no, I didn't expect the money. I wanted someone to tell me whether my ideas were any good, who was impartial and wouldn't cost me any money. So I got my ideas tested for free, right? I happened to get some money at the end of it. So a really good way to approach the process of applying to us is, you get five domain experts. So typically we go for two commercial experts, two technology experts, and maybe a funder, that sort of spread of things. So a different series of perspectives. For nothing, you get people who will kick your ideas around. And that can be really valuable, and it doesn't cost you anything. And you might get some money out of it, and you'll get feedback, whichever way it goes. So,
Paul, thank you very much. Really appreciate the insights you've given us in what Innovate UK is doing. The comments about the fact you did the demo also was very well appreciated, and we didn't test that, so thankfully that worked, and that worked really well, so that was really good. Thank you for that. And also really appreciate the open discussion with the questions we've had from people. So thanks so much for your time and your insights, Paul. Really appreciate it all. Thank you all very much. Feel free to keep in touch with us, as Paul has put his details out there. Also, be welcome to come along to the future events and that we're doing. So thank you all very much. Have a great
Thanks, Andrew, for organizing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, all.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Please do subscribe for future podcasts. And if you'd like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on your platform. Thank you.